to a real actress, huh?
And you're going to play our parents for how long?
Oh, we're just doing dinner for the next few years.
There's no substitute for a loving parent. And to live anywhere, you'll know how much you care.
According to the script, we're supposed to answer to how your day was.
Okay, I guess.
Oh, is that the best you can do?
In the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast. And now, here's the 5-day forecast. Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. We're in northwest flood and expect some clearing late tonight. Low 44 will rebound on Saturday with a bunch of sunshine and high pressure to 68 for the high. Sunday's weather won't change too much. Partial cloudiness with a high around 70 expected, and the next chance for thunderstorms ahead of the trouble system is Monday. Thank you for listening to the station that puts you one-on-one with the people and the issues that matter most to you. News Talk 620 WWNR.
The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kinchin. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kinchin.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. Yeah, it's live. I'm Bob Kincaid. Back into the phone booth and changed back into my Bob Kincaid normal persona after a night of Bob Kincaid Celebrity Waiter. Oh, we had a grand time at the Sedona Grill last night. Oh, a lot of fun. Big crowd. Raised some significant dinero for the United Way of Southern West Virginia and the Women's Resource Center. Made me feel good. And, I've got an idea. I know we're not exactly in pro-labor times or anything, but, if you listen to this program with any regularity, you know that I like to know how things work. You know, from standing over a partially disassembled rear-tying garden tiller and swearing at it profusely to, well, pick a topic. Last night I learned about being a waiter. And so I've got an idea. I'd like to pass a law that says every restaurant has a guy standing in the corner with a tire iron, and he gets to kneecap anybody who doesn't tip at least 15% for their wait staff. Now, I had great tips last night. This is not about the people who came out. But I learned something. And you know, it's part of human nature, I suppose, that we don't look at the hard work of other human beings. And if we are, and we're self-centered, it's, again, part of human nature. And so when we're being served in a restaurant, we think that we're the only, you know, we are the only job that waiter or waitress has. When, of course, nothing could be further from the truth. Again, I had a blast. But the next time you sit down in a restaurant, take the time, do the math, calculate your 15% at least, and make sure that you tip your waitstaff appropriately. Because that was some amazing hard work. Hot work, sweaty work. And I have all the admiration in the world for folks who labor in that fashion. Hence the guy in the corner with the tire iron to kneecap the people who stiff the waiters. Hey, come here. Get 10%, divide that by 2, add those two together, that's 15%, that's what you leave on the table. Whack. Now, of course, I don't mean that. It's a joke. But pay attention to the hard work and good service that you get when you go into a restaurant and you do receive that kind of service. Because there are people in the kitchen, there are people preparing the salads, the bread, cooking the meals, making sure your coffee is refilled promptly, bringing your cocktails, your legal beverages. And they deserve your honor and your respect. And above all, they deserve not to be stiffed. So, way to go, waiters and waitresses and bartenders everywhere, and busboys and cooks and line chefs. I learned a lot last night. So, you know, maybe it was a volunteer opportunity for me, but it was also a learning opportunity. And, you know, working people. Is there anything that says America more than the average Joe and Jane who are out there every day busting it, earn their daily bread, and make somebody's life a little bit better? Somehow, I don't know, I feel considerably more kinship with these people than I do with the caviar and canapes crowd that clips coupons and gets tax breaks from that pinhead in the White House. Oh, and have I got a piece of email for you. You're going to love this. Apparently, some moron didn't understand that last night was a best of, which is radio jargon for Bob's doing a rerun. So Audrey Bloomfield writes in, this is good. I could not pay somebody to write this kind of comedy. I listen to your station daily, especially during the morning hours, and enjoy your programming very much. I almost always listen to Dr. Bill and enjoy his program, though I don't usually agree with his views. The program is very educational. So it's educational, but you don't agree with the views, so therefore you're not getting much of an education, are you? Never mind. We're talking about we're dealing with a four-square wingnut here. Normally, I do not have time to listen in the evening. However, this evening, I was in my car. Hey, I think we've heard from this woman before. You know, the one that has the demonically possessed radio, and it just happened to be on WWNR, and I heard that Mr. Kincaid. Remember that? Sure. However, this evening, I was in my car, and I caught the Bob Kincaid show. I was appalled at what I heard. I think this other lady was appalled, too. I have no problem with Mr. Kincaid espousing his views. After all, the morning program is primarily conservative talk shows. I do have a problem, however, when Mr. Kincaid's making light of churches and Christians, as he did continually this evening, even calling churches by name, making reference to speaking in tongues and cursing. Huh? I personally feel this is inappropriate and was offended by his behavior. I definitely will not be listening in the evening after what I heard tonight. She listens every night. She listens every night. This might even be the person who called themselves Lucinda that one night and lost her cookies on the air. I don't know. I definitely will not be listening in the evening after what I heard tonight. Will Mr. Kincaid be allowed to continue his tirade against churches and Christians? Sweetheart, listen, okay? Sugar lump, let me help you here. I'm not talking about churches and Christians. I make a special point of letting people understand that when I address these sickening hypocrisies, I'm not talking about true followers of Yeshua the Palestinian carpenter. I'm talking about these sickening places that have been sucked up into the political mire and filth of so-called conservatism and republicanism, repiglicanism, repervianism. Yeah, I got one of those stories for you tonight, too. America is a wonderful country where we have the freedom to worship as we wish. It should not concern Mr. Kincaid if I chose to worship God and call Jesus Christ Lord. Does he know there's any other issue, or is this the only reason for his program? Hey, stupid, listen up. It should not concern Mr. Kincaid if I choose to worship. Did I criticize what you choose? No, of course not. I don't care. I don't care what you. I don't worship a rock. Worship a cup of coffee. Worship a statue. Worship a tree. Give all your money to some organization of social control. Fine by me. Give your money to a guy who doesn't work for a living, who just blithely sits and takes other people's money and yammers every Sunday. Do that. I don't care. But you know what? If you make a fool of yourself like you're doing here, Audrey, I'm going to make fun of you. Sorry. It's the way I am. I do not suffer fools lightly. Please take a stand against this or counsel Mr. Kincaid to stop this despicable behavior. He must surely have problems to be this angry and out of control. I pray he finds peace in his life. Listen, Audrey, honey, you four-square moron. You sent this email in here to our email address, and you have just displayed what a pitiful fool you are for all of Raleigh County and significant portions of the United States of America. Listening online at WWNRNewsTalk620.com or perhaps listening to the archives at BenBirch'sWhiteRoseSociety.org. Thousands and thousands of people, Audrey, now know that you probably don't have enough sense to pour rainwater out of a boot with directions on the heel, honey. I pray he finds peace in his life. Sweetheart, I got lots of peace in my life. I'm a peaceful guy. I don't get into fights. Don't go assaulting people. You know, I'm not part of the crowd that believes that abortion doctors should be murdered or the right wing religion industry movement that thinks it's okay to have sex with mules. We had that guy's quote on. Nope, I'm not part of the movement that believes in starting wars against little third world countries that can't even defend themselves. That's not me, sweetie. Counsel Mr. Kincaid to stop this despicable behavior. What's despicable about it, sweetie? The fact that I'm sticking a pin in the little hot air balloon of your right-wing freakishness? Live with it. And I know you're listening right now. You're there every night, Audrey, aren't you? I just make you quiver all over, don't I? Oh, wait a minute. I did that wrong. Let's try that again. I just make you quiver all over, don't I, Audrey? Let's take a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Spring is here, so that means it's time for LS Toyota's Spring Sales Event. And it's easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices, big selection, no hassles. Choose from over 200 Toyotas. Sign and drive with zero down and make no payments till fall. That's right, zero down and zero payments till fall. Brand new 2005 Toyota Corollas, Camrys, 4Runners, Highlanders, Land Cruisers, Siennas, and more. With 17 models to choose from, find out which one is right for you. Spring Sales Event. Sign and buy with zero down and no payments till fall. Rush to L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices. Big selection. No hassles. Hurry, because when the Spring Sales Event ends, so do the savings. Sign and drive with zero down and no payments till fall. On select models with approved credit. Enter the cruise date of purchase. Except for 05 for loan. 303 for month for 60 months with 6.5% APR. Financing offer ends 5/30/105.
Welcome to Green and Growing, the lawn care show with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, my sister has a hill on her farm we call the ski slope. Any mowing advice?
Safety is key when it comes to mowing slopes. First thing to do is take a look at your mowing equipment. With a lawn tractor, John Deere says mow up and down for greater stability. For a walk-behind mower, it's best to mow side to side. And if the hillside is really ominous, get creative. Plant a ground cover instead. Remember this rhyme. Riding slopes go up and down, but sideways when you walk around.
That's easy to remember. But what about the mowing speed? The rest of her property is flat as a pancake.
Use higher speeds only for transport to the mowing area. While you're mowing in a wide open area, stay in control by using medium speeds. And switch to low speeds as you're turning corners and trimming borders.
Thanks, Bill. Tune in next time for Green and Growing.
WWNR Beckley.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 20 minutes after 7 o'clock, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, your nightly confrontation with the facts. Brother Bob's Cathedral of Common Sense. And the phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Since Audrey got us onto this topic, we may as well stay with it. The Newsweek thing. Just a little perspective for you, if you don't mind. I revere my books. I don't shoot them. I don't flush them down the toilet or throw them in buckets with icky stuff in it like they do in Afghanistan and Iraq and Guantanamo. I value learning. I value thought. I value consideration. I value reason and rationale and common sense. Therefore, you know, I keep my Quran on a shelf with my Bible and my Gnostic Gospels and my Josephus and my Bhagavad Gita, my Code of Hammurabi. These are great works of human civilization, and I give them reverence. They sit there precisely two shelves above my lovely wife's Harlequin romances. They stand unabused. They're two shelves above Danielle Steele and Pirate Princess and all that stuff. There are also two shelves beneath my copies of The Sound and the Fury and Ulysses and For Whom the Bell Tolls. Tender is the Night, The Great Gatsby. The collected works of Mark Twain. Another shelf up, there's Catch-22, All the King's Men, To Kill a Mockingbird, and of course Shakespeare. Like I said, I review my books. And since we're on the subject of reverence, you're familiar, I'm sure, with the very basic racism that says a bunch of people in Afghanistan just can't keep from rioting if they hear somebody's threatened their holy book. Make another move and the book gets it. I've got a knife and I've got a book and I'm not afraid to use it, and this makes people riot. Nah, maybe having a fascist dictatorship imposed on them in Afghanistan might make them riot. Call me crazy. But, you know, we see the rioting, and by the way, shh, don't tell anybody. Those people who got killed in the riots that little slithering Scotty McClellan got so upset about, and Joe DeRita got to be Larry DeRita got to be related to Curly Joe, the Last Stooge, at the Pentagon got so mad he used dirty words about that one. Yeah, the people that were killed, they were killed by members of. I hate to tell you this, they were killed by members of Hamid Karzai's hand-picked puppet government that was put in place by George Bush. Just like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people are being killed in Uzbekistan by George Bush's good buddy that he sat in the Oval Office with and shook hands and looked in the eye and probably looked into his soul, just like he did Vladimir Putin. That would be Aslam Karimov. But, you know, these people rioted because these Afghans and these Pakistanis, they rioted because they're out there reading the English language version of Newsweek. Gotcha. But we think it's quaint. You know, the savage wiener says that Afghans and Pakistanis are living in the 7th century. You know, the idea that some mob would have kittens with crocheted tails at the very mention that somebody had shown disrespect to their holy book. Book, emphasis on the word book. But it was interesting in the Savage Wieners diatribe, and any other right wing nut, I have yet to hear mention of the absolute furor, the frothed up, foaming at the mouth hissy that was had a few years ago over a piece of artwork. Or two or three. So since we're all enlightened here, and since we know that no good religion, industry, right-wing freak would ever, ever, ever get all 7th century over a book, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to down a couple of cans of beer, maybe a couple of Foster's oil cans. Get me a mason jar, quart size, and I'm going to fill it up. And I'm going to submerge a crucifix or a Bible or a magic Jesus cookie in it. And I'm going to put the lid on and set it outside this building. And I'm going to wait and see how long it takes for some so-called Christian to either rescue it or destroy it or break into a full-blown riot. And I'll do it night after night after night, and pretty soon you'll have a riot. Oh, but we're better than that. We're not like those brown people who have hissies over a book now, are we? No, of course not. We're not like those 7th century brown people, over in Afghanistan or Pakistan or whatever stand. We're not like them. We're smarter. We're better. We're all civilized. That's why people took to the streets and protested and carried signs and had little had kittens with crocheted tails and little hissy fits in Cincinnati over a jar with a crucifix in it. Right. And that's why they had a fit at, what, the Brooklyn Museum of Art? Was it the Brooklyn Museum of Art, I think it was? Something about a Madonna and elephant poopy? Have I got that one right? Remember that? And people had, and right-wing Republican congressmen and senators stood up and said, we cannot allow this sort of expression. Blah, 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 blah. This is not anything that the First Amendment ever contemplated. Hypocrites. Hypocrites. You understand? So, I don't know, which is it? The Afghanis aren't really in the 7th century, they're in the 21st, and they're acting just like a bunch of right-wing religion industry freaks in America did a couple of years ago over a mason jar with a crucifix in it? Or maybe, and perhaps more accurately, the right-wing religion industry people are the ones in the 7th century, right there alongside those Afghans and Pakistanis and so forth. Welcome to religious fanaticism, American style. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A suspect in last week's fatal shooting in Nichols has turned himself in to state police. Donald Jesse from Columbus, Ohio, turned himself into the Beckley Detachment yesterday evening. He was wanted for the May 10th shooting of Adrian Peoples and also the wounding of Romello Heller, both from Columbus. The two men were shot May 10th during what police said was a drug deal that went bad at a house on Jenny Lynn Road in Nichols. Jesse is charged with first-degree murder, malicious wounding, and is being held in the Southern Regional Jail. State Police Sergeant D.R. Kincaid says further arrests could be made in that case. A regional jail inmate accused of making a bomb threat to the Nicholas County Prosecutor's Office in March has escaped a terroristic threat charge. Nicholas County Magistrate Bobby Gordon has found no probable cause for the charge against 22-year-old Nova Gerald Jr. of Richwood. Gerald was charged in March with making a terroristic threat after police accused him of phoning in a bomb threat to the Nicholas Prosecutor's Office from Central Regional Jail in Flatwoods. He's serving three consecutive one-year sentences for felony petty larceny. Also, he's being held on charges of entering without breaking and daytime burglary. The courthouse annex building in Somersville was evacuated, but no bomb was found. Within an hour, authorities knew where the call had come from. From HICO this evening, 18 former Survivor cast members are taking on a different challenge. That's the New River's Whitewater Rapids. At least 180 fans gathered at Songer Whitewater in HICO yesterday for an autograph and photo session with the Survivor veterans. The Survivor alumni are scheduled to raft the river tomorrow. Residents of Crab Orchard have won a victory in their battle to fix traffic problems related to the opening of a new Walmart Supercenter. A left turn lane was added to Robert Byrd Drive for northbound traffic turning into the store. That replaced an old turning lane that allowed residents of Redding Street to turn safely onto their road while heading south. For the rest of this evening, partly cloudy. Tonight, partly cloudy and chilly with a low near 45, but then for Saturday, a nice day. Partly to mostly sunny and cooler. Tomorrow's high in the upper 60s. Same thing for Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 70. Have a good weekend. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
Striking workers for a utility company in Massachusetts have had contributions to benefits terminated. The elimination of healthcare contributions by NSTAR affects more than 1,900 employees represented by the Utility Workers Union of America, Local 369. The cuts come barely 3 days after the strike was declared. The union says the strike is over safety issues. The company is trying to cut the size of work crews while mandating excessive overtime. The company has said the workers are really striking over pay and benefits. Both sides say they will return to the bargaining table when the other is ready.
Nearly 750,000 federal workers in the Departments of Defense and Homeland Security are fighting an attack on their labor rights under the guise of national security. John Gage is president of the American Federation of Government Employees, or AFGE. He wants people to call Congress, urging that it take another look at the stripping away of these hard-earned collective bargaining rights.
We're fighting back on this, and we're asking people to call their congressmen, and really, Congress has to take another look at this, a sober look, and not a look that, was clouded by 9/11 and the war in Iraq.
The government can ignore union contracts and violate labor agreements even if the issue at hand has nothing to do with real national security issues.
Yeah, that's what really stuck in our craw. What the hell does overtime assignments have to do with national security? What does any of it have to do with really with national security?
Gage says workers are under siege in this country and middle-class working families better wake up and reassert their rights in the workplace.
There is an attack on working people going on. It seems everything this administration does is just geared to money, taking away workers' overtime, health benefits, pensions, hourly wages, real wages falling in this country, and corporate profits being up off the charts. I mean, it's time that people wake up and stand together a little bit more and take our country back.
The way things are shaping up, the NFL could have little competition in the way of attracting sport fans this coming season. As talks between the NHL and the Players Association shows little sign of ending a lockout, the NBA is having similar difficulties. The NBA has issued a statement accusing the Players Union of backtracking on items the two sides previously agreed on. If more progress isn't made, a lockout could begin on July 1st, 3 days after the NBA draft. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Women may be in more danger to liver damage than men. A new study indicates that female rats metabolize alcohol differently than male rats. This could indicate similar results in human women. Especially susceptible were female rats that also consumed a high-fat diet. Those rats, fed high-fat fish oil, had higher rates of liver damage than male rats on the same diet and rats that consumed a high-carb diet. The findings were presented at the annual Digestive Disease Week meeting in Chicago.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR, Beckley.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. Just got a link via email to a thread at Democratic Underground. Since we're on this desecrating things, books, documents, this is well worth it. This is brilliant. Post says, "Dear Quran, I know exactly how you feel. Yours truly, the U.S. Constitution." A little further down. Oh, where'd it go? "Dear Quran, U.S. Constitution, we're forming a support group if you're interested. Sincerely, Geneva Convention." One of the posters noted, people posting on this thread noted, that needs to be on posters all over America. "Dear Quran, I know just how you're feeling. Yours truly, the U.S. Constitution. But we can't seem to work up any right-wing fervor over shredding the United States Constitution. Senate's hard at work on that one, you know. The vote comes Tuesday, the first trial balloon? We've got a lot of people waiting online, so let's go to the phones. Jose is with us. Hey, Jose, you're head on.
Oh, Bob.
How are you?
I'm a coping for an old man.
Yeah, just making it day by day.
Now, if I go to Sedona and take 10 people, and the bill's 100,
mm-hmm.
I should give them $15 tip. That's fair, ain't it?
That's exactly right. If you, I think with 10 people, they'll add the tip in for you. But, 15% is generally accepted as the appropriate tip for waitstaff.
Well, that's good. They deserve it.
Absolutely.
I hope you got yours last night.
Well, I got mine in the form of helping to raise a little bit of money for the Women's Resource Center and the United Way.
And the diversion.
Mm-hmm. And it was a marvelous experience.
Andrea, that you're talking about, which is another Eve and the cold women of the world.
Mm-hmm.
The religious scene. Can I read you one paragraph?
Go right ahead.
Churches back factions in war. Clergy charged in genocide. Priests sexually exploit young people. Church cover-up. Decline in attendance. Church buildings sold.
Goes on and on, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Tells you that there's something rotten.
And but Yeshua tells these people, these Eves and Andreas, get out of her, which is a church.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand. This woman felt like I was personally attacking her religion. But I have no idea. You've done good, Bob,
up till now.
I have no idea.
How, with them.
I'm trying, but I have no idea how this woman came by the idea that I was after her.
Give them a good cold drink of water, Bob.
A little cool water on the back of the neck, right, Jose?
Yes.
Thanks. You take care now.
Jehovah bless.
And you as well.
Bye.
Bye now. Let's see. Let's go to Rich. Hey, Rich, you're head on. Thanks for waiting, man.
How you doing?
I'm getting along. How about you?
I'm doing good, man. Wish he hasn't killed me off yet. I'm not old enough. I got a few more working years in me.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it, man.
Yep. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much, man. Just listening to your show. You talk about so many different subjects, I don't know where to go.
Pick one.
I don't know. Reagan was a dick.
Ah!
He was!
I know, but we can't say that.
Okay, he was a dork.
Okay, that's better.
All right. Daggone. Remember?
Yeah.
Remember when all them Marines got blown up in Lebanon?
Absolutely.
So then he went around next week and invaded Grenada. Woohoo!
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Rich.
Yeah.
And you know the most tragic thing about those Marines in Lebanon, Reagan insisted that they be put in those barracks there where
with
they
no
could,
guns,
with no
bullets in their guns,
no bullets in their guns. And what's more, the admirals and the generals said, you know, Mr. President, we really shouldn't do this. This isn't a good idea. We can keep them right here on board the ship, and if they need to get somewhere, we can put them on helicopters, and they can be there in minutes.
Yeah.
And he said, no, we've got to have them on the ground there to show them we're serious.
Yep. But I don't think Reagan was really running the show. I think Bush was.
I think you're absolutely right, Rich.
You know, he was running it from the get-go. He was president for more years than you know. Because, you know.
Well, yeah, and before that, of course, George Bush had the gig at the CIA.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I'm going, wait, you want to go way back then?
Yeah,
yeah. He was in charge of the invasion of Cuba, the Bay of Pigs, man. He was in charge of that thing.
It's frightening to contemplate.
You know, the name of the ships was Barbara and that oil company he owned, Zapata. Those were the names of the two ships that invaded Cuba.
I'll be darned.
Well, I'll be darned. And boy, wasn't he mad when the air power didn't show up from President Kennedy, wasn't he? Gee whiz. I wonder how mad he was. Makes you think, don't it?
Oh, sure it does.
Yeah.
Rich, I appreciate it, man. Have yourself a great night. Always good to hear from you.
All right, you take care.
Take it easy. And let's see, Cherie. Hey, Cherie, you're head on. Cherie.
Good evening, Bob.
There you are. You're kind of low.
Oh, sorry, I've been ill.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I heard you talking about the riots, and is it the book that is actually that becomes the offender, or is it the destruction of the idea?
Well, I
that
think
they're rioting over.
Well, yeah, and maybe it's actually neither of the above, Cherie. Maybe it has something to do. Maybe they're rioting over the fact that America is running around making war on the Muslim world.
Which I disagree with wholly. I think that you'll find bad people in any faction that you look at. I don't care what religion or what country or what denomination.
Yeah,
there's bad and there's good.
Well, it's in the very nature of religion, Cherie, that whenever you get a good idea come along, say, you know, Jesus telling people, you know, why don't you try being nice to each other for a change instead of being mean? You know, and then somebody comes along and kills him for it, and then a guy goes blind on a road to Damascus and says, hey, looky, I've got the real truth.
Well, you know, I find one thing just phenomenal is that the Jews have been the most persecuted people, but yet Jesus was a Jew.
Well, you know, but he got baptized by John the Baptist, and that made him a Christian.
Well, I didn't know that a man could actually make you any better than what you already are.
Hey, God made the baker, and the baker made God. I mean, somebody has to make those little wafers.
Well, and, you know, I heard you talking about books on your shelf, and I myself prefer T.S. Eliot and Stephen Hawking and things of that nature.
Sure. It's the ideas in the book that we revere.
Exactly. And when you look at... Ooh, is that you or me?
No, I think that's you.
When you look at a book can be destroyed, but the idea goes on.
Right. And of course, that's a core principle in Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451.
Well, and, you know, one thing I think that you may... Because I heard about the lady thinking that you were attacking her religion.
Oh, what an idiot.
One thing... Well, no, she wasn't an idiot. What it is one thing that I think you need to make a little clearer is that it's not being a Christian that it's not the idea of Christianity that you're attacking.
I try to make that clear, Cherie. I say it constantly. I'm not talking about people who honestly and genuinely follow the message of Yeshua.
Well, and see, I think it just comes down to being a good person. The Bible is a daily living guide.
Absolutely.
And so are many, many other books out there.
Yeah.
You know, I love Zen.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. And the thing of it is if you take a little bit from each one and each idea, you have a way of living pretty well.
Yeah.
And everybody fighting with each other and getting all vicious and trying to destroy this and destroy that, when you destroy the idea that was set down, just like the Constitution, it was penned for a reason.
Yes.
They wanted a better life. They wanted America to have a better life.
And they wanted a government that they could count on not to be oppressive, not to be restrictive, not to be dangerous, not to be dictatorial or tyrannical.
But yet we backslide. And we tear down the ideas that the men who actually fought and died for.
Yeah.
And we just basically defecate on it.
Yeah, we do. And I'm sorry. I don't. No, I'm not sorry. I'm just calling it like it is. There is it. You can, among the right wing religion industrialists, you can't find one that gives a single blessing about the United States Constitution, or would dare stand up to their Republican overlords and tell them not to mess with 200 years of tradition.
I think one thing that bothers me is I don't mind giving anything that I have, sharing.
Yeah.
But when someone tells me that I need to send them money in order for them to tell me about God, I find it offensive,
mm-hmm.
and I find it conish.
Well, see, all these Republican right-wing religion industrialists, Cherie, they pass over that whole part, and this is even that whole description of the early church, owning everything in common, having no personal property of their own, sharing everything out. In other words, communism.
Right. Right.
The early Christian church was pure and simple communism.
Well, you know, you take a look at the early Christians, and you have the early Christianity, you have Catholicism. In each one of the religions, there's been horribly dark times, and we're heading back to them again.
No, dark ages. I got a story here about how George Bush has threatened to veto a bill on stem cell research because he thinks Jesus wants people to suffer. Yeah, I can't get my head around it. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I don't think that Jesus has anything to do with it. I don't think that God decides whether you're going to live or die. And when people, you know, when someone passes away in your family and they look at you and go, well, you know, it was God's will, that is so offensive.
Oh, it's, yeah.
You know, it's not God's will. God didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah, well, I think God might even resent that kind of thing, beating up on him for things that just happened.
I'm sure he does. And the thing of it is the more that I hear coming from the different parties, the venom that they're spewing, it makes me pull back even more.
Sure.
This wasn't the way I was raised. you know, the old country churches, people stood together. If a neighbor was in trouble, you went to help them. Now, your neighbor looks over and goes, my God, how did they get that? And all of a sudden, you know, there's stories that come from your neighbors.
Oh, well, stay tuned, Cherie. Stay tuned, Cherie. I have got a story that's going to just, I mean, it's one of those real icky ones.
Well,
and again, yeah, guess where it comes from? Straight out of the religion industry.
I just wanted to point out that, you know, it's not the piece of paper.
No.
The piece of paper means absolutely nothing. It's the idea that's on the paper. And, yeah, I think people have a right to be angry when their ideas are attacked to the point to where you are persecuted for your beliefs.
Yeah, kind of like the liberals and progressives have been for the last, how long has this liberalism equals evil false dichotomy been playing out? You know, the Lee Atwater in the 88 election was doing it. Jerry Falwell was doing it with the immoral minority, not the moral majority. He was doing that in 84 and 80.
I have friends who are Republicans that listen to your show,
mm-hmm.
and they agree with it. They don't disagree with you. And the thing of it is that they take the idea. I think that they would like you to differentiate that, you know, it's not that all Republicans are bad, so everyone bad is a Republican or a certain faction, but that there's bad in any set that you go to, that Democrats, Republicans, whatever. It's that you need to fight for what you believe in. You need to stand up for it.
Right, but the problem is, Cherie, those Republicans that you know that agree with me, why in God's name are they Republicans?
I think that they are the older generation.
Yeah, Eisenhower types.
Exactly. It's
sure.
not.
But you know what? I've got that Eisenhower quote that's been making its way around here. I've got to find it. But they have let their party be stolen from them.
Well, I think they realize that. It's a little too late, but, you know, it's time to everybody pull up the drawstrings and, you know, tighten their belts and get in there and get at it.
Yeah.
Let's fix what's wrong, because there's an awful lot out there.
I'll be honest. I don't think the Republican Party can be fixed. They don't want it fixed. It's been taken over by a bunch of monsters, and they will, you know, it's like the old NRA line, you can have my gun when you pry it from my cold dead fingers. That's the way the Republican.
Black.
Well, yeah, okay. I know. Hey, Cherie, thanks so much. It's always good to hear from you. I hope you get to feel a little bit better. We got to roll on.
Thank you, Bob. You have a good evening.
Take care.
Bye.
And Jethro. Hey, Jethro, you're head on.
Yo, Bob.
What are you doing?
What up?
I don't know it.
Taking any echinacea golden seal combination?
Yes, I am. And I'm hoping I'm going to get some relief.
I hear you.
And I got a recipe from our FOB Nanette the other night, and I've mixed up some of that, and it's a little bit better, but I don't know. Of course, it would help if I would quit smoking.
Well, sauna actually might help too.
That would be blessed relief. You know, like a steam room or something like that. Just, you know, breathe that good stuff and loosen up some of this garbage.
Yeah, a little eucalyptus oil maybe too, menthol mixture.
Yeah, exactly.
The old Vapo Rub would help, you know. Simple stuff like that.
Yeah, because I refuse to take anything. I'm not going to take anything you can make crystal meth out of. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it.
I hear you. But some people have this thing lingering, you know, 4 or 5 weeks.
Oh, I'm in week 6 with this, Jethro. I mean, and I've tried, you know, saline spray, yada, yada, yada. I'm trying the Nets mixture, and it seems to be giving me some relief. I just left my atomizer at home.
I hear you. So, yeah, George Galloway.
Oh, didn't he? Yeah. Hey, funny story about George Galloway. If you go to that Senate subcommittee's website, Brad Friedman from BradBlog alerted me to this. You can find a transcript of the testimony of everybody who testified that day. They have scrubbed George Galloway's testimony.
Right. I think they had 8 speakers, and the other 7 are all there, and Mr. Galloway is admitted.
Yeah, because, well, you know, because he took a Republican on and he smacked him upside the head, showed him to be, showed Norm Coleman to be the ugly little punk that he is. And Norm's not going to let that be out there for public consumption.
Right. You know, he's supposed to be quite a womanizer. I think his nickname is Zipper Norm.
Oh, brother. Well, and would we be surprised? You know, I guess we're supposed to be grateful. I mean, since he's a Republican, I guess we're supposed to be grateful that he's not doing little kids.
Well, he was on, I think he was on Bill Maher's show there last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he's, yeah, he's pretty slick. He's originally from New York.
Huh.
Yeah.
And he used to be a Democrat.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. He was the Democratic mayor of, what, Minneapolis or St. Paul, something like that. But then I guess the money was too good to pass up, and he got all Republican.
Gangster-looking type, actually.
Yeah. Creepy.
Yeah. So this, and this, this oil, you know, for food deal, I don't know what the big deal is. 52% of that, they're saying, you know, was sold to an American company, like, Bay Oil down in Houston.
Imagine that, Houston. Don't we know some political people from Houston?
Yeah. And the guy that owns it is he's a big Republican donor.
No.
So, and I'm sure there's a little tie-in with, Bush Co.
Oh, yeah, there's a little, yeah, a little sweetener going along.
Both of them being oil men. I mean, yeah. And Cheney's from Texas, too. He just got the, you know, the fake address.
Yeah, in Wyoming, it's a post office box.
Yeah, they like to do it here, too. Bob Kiss and...
I know. I saw that story today where they put out studies. The legislature's decided what it's going to study for the next year or so. Oh, there's some brilliant stuff in there. Oh, my God. You know, but they're not going to study why insurance companies are ripping off West Virginians. Not going to do that.
No. They're going to study further how these corporations can fleece the public, you know, one more time. So yeah, so let's move this Newsweek story.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. The biggest fake story in the news today.
Yeah, it's another Dan Rather fleecing.
Yeah, it's a con.
It is a con because, I'm pretty sure that it did happen. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
They did everything else. The fake menstrual blood, who knows what all they did. They beat some of them to death. You know, there's 27 or 28 deaths that they know that were homicides. But, you know, all right, men, anything but flushing the Koran down the toilet.
Yep, can't do that.
That is strictly off limits. Gouge your eyes out with a pencil, you know.
Yeah. Can we bastinado them and beat them to death on the soles of their feet? Well, you're not going to put a Koran on the toilet, are you? Nope. Okay, then go right ahead.
You know, apply cattle probes to any place you want to, but do not, you know. So I'm sure that happened. That would be a great technique. You know, to break them down.
Well, the International Red Cross noted it in its report. The Sunday Times of London had it. The Philadelphia Inquirer had it. The Washington Post had it. And yet, they're having the hissy over Newsweek. And the most important thing out of this, Jethro, is what was pointed out to me. The only thing out of the Newsweek story that was denied was the Quran business. The other heinous tortures, the other war crimes, the other human rights abuses, didn't deny them, so I'll take those to be true.
Well, and for the government, for the administration to blame Newsweek and the Pentagon, to blame Newsweek for the deaths and for inciting riots, and then for the White House to come out and say that Newsweek was responsible for, you know, lowering the esteem of the United States in the world.
I know. And again, it cannot be, and I don't know if anybody's pointed this out besides me around here, but you can't overemphasize the fact, Jethro, that those deaths were caused by gunfire from Hamid Karzai's own Afghan military. So who killed them?
I hear you.
Who supplied that military?
But what is more heinous is the fact that that is straight out of the Nazi Germany playbook. If the press reports something bad, you know, I mean, you know, that the government has done, the press becomes the goat.
Oh, exactly.
And then, you know, and after you put the pressure on them and threaten them, then they come around to your way of thinking. And so that's a, you know, that's a...
The sad thing is they came around to the administration's way of thinking 5 years ago. My God, the press has been on its knees with little knee pads on in front of George Bush for 5 years.
Yeah, but it's got, yeah, but, you know, for the government to, blame their own, dodge their own responsibility and try to place it on a media organization, not good.
No, and again, another thing worth remembering and worth repeating, at the time the Newsweek story came out, Jethro, you know this, General Richard Myers, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, came out and said, our general in Afghanistan says the Koran story has nothing to do with it. So, you know, what we've got here is we've got Slither and Scotty McClellan, we've got all these felons and crooks who inhabit 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and they're just willing to lie with impunity because they know that nobody's going to call them on it except maybe some, you know, teeny tiny little radio station out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Car Talk guys on NPR, you know, that should be the firm of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe.
Yeah. Huey, Dewey, Louie. Love
yeah.
those guys.
So the, so now we're hearing that we've got these top generals, even General Abzad, coming out and saying, well, we don't know if we're going to be able to reduce our troop strength by the end of 95 or even in the beginning of 06.
And ultimately they said, we may be there for years.
Many years. And so, take Baghdad City alone. We had 25 car bombings the entire year last year. There were 21 this month, and 126 in the last 80 days.
Yeah, but freedom's on the march, right, Jethro?
Yeah. So Condi Rice has got a swoop in there Wednesday.
Oh, God, I know.
And so what do? You know, we're basically we're changing stream. We're saying, no, you guys can't handle it. We're putting the Americans back in control. So there's going to be more of our influence over the government. You know, I think we're starting to panic a little bit on that. So.
And a few more young Americans into the meat grinder, but who really cares? Because they're toy soldiers, and George Bush never quite noticed that they were human.
Well, but, you know, we keep the public saying, well, we got to stick it out. We got to tough it out.
Stay the course.
But the thing of it is, these generals, several weeks ago, they were more optimistic about, you know, things are going fine. We're doing good. Now they're actually coming out and saying, you know, we could fail.
Well, you know that little fight they got in over by the Syrian border? Think that might have changed attitudes a little bit?
Well, it was Al Qaim, and strangely enough, how many Iraqi troops were involved in that big offensive?
Would that be zero?
Zero, exactly. Yeah. And it was just like Fallujah. You know, you seal off the town so the civilians can't escape. You bomb, you know, the business center. You keep it sealed off and the reporters and stuff so they can't see what's going on.
Thank God George Bush is a good Christian, Jethro, you know. Hey, it's always good to hear from you. I got to roll, though. We're at the top of the hour.
Hey, keep up the good work, Bob.
All right, we'll see you, Jethro. Later. Have a great weekend. It's madness, I tell you. Had to get that in for him. All right, top of the hour, and when we come back, more of your phone calls, 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-WWNR. That's 9967. Learn it, know it, use it. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
You two are real actors, huh?
And you're going to play our parents for how long?
Oh, just doing dinner for the next few years.
There's no substitute for a loving parent. And when you're really there, they'll know how much you care.
According to the script, we're supposed to ask you how your day was.
Okay, I guess.
Cool. Is that the best you can do?
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
News Talk 620, WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast. And now, here's the 5-day forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. We're in northwest Florida and expect some clearing late tonight.
Low 44 will rebound on Saturday with abundant sunshine and high pressure to 68 for the high. Sunday's weather won't change too much. Partial cloudiness with a high around 70 expected, and the next chance for thunderstorms ahead of a funnel system will be Monday.
Thank you for listening to the station that puts you one-on-one with the people and the issues that matter most to you. News Talk 620, WWNR.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock, this is head-on. I'm Bob Kincaid. If you're listening over the air, you've heard the ABC Top of the Hour news and how Bush takes to it's just a hassle sometimes to figure out how to refer to this guy. Bush has said he'll veto this stem cell bill that's making its way with bipartisan support through the House of Representatives because
I've made it very clear to the Congress that the use of federal money, taxpayers' money, to promote science which destroys life in order to save life, I'm against that.
Daggum doofus. These are spare embryos that are never going to be implanted, never going to be given. No. It's not life. Life is what happens all around you, George, you moron. It happens to people who have Alzheimer's. It happens to people who have spinal cord injuries. It happens to people with diabetes. And there are possible cures in stem cell research for all of that. But he did go on, George did, to say, I'm against any idea of human cloning. Trust me, George, as long as you're shuffling around on this planet, so are we. Let's go back to the phones. Ben is with us and has waited. I appreciate it, Ben.
Hey there.
How you doing?
Doing pretty good. Just on the stem cell thing, what do you want to bet that if George Bush had a disabling injury that needed stem cell research, that he'd get it?
In about 15 seconds, and they'd fly to Korea for the best, best research.
I have it on good authority that when he told us all that he did not get a flu shot last year, he already had it.
I wouldn't be surprised in the least, Ben. I mean, the lying is what these people do.
Well, it is, and let's go to a person you just mentioned, Norm Coleman.
Yeah.
Now, Norm Coleman is an interesting case. I've been trying to put together rumors about him and trying to verify some of them. First of all, you know, he has a trophy wife he doesn't live with. She lives out in California, I think Los Angeles.
That's true. I'd read that somewhere. And it's been like a considerable period of time that they've not been together, right?
Yep. And my friends in that industry tell me that Norm is very generous to certain women with, let us say, expensive call girls.
Ah.
Very generous.
And I'm sure he just does that because he is interested in making sure that they've got a decent standard of living?
I think so. I think it's just a humanitarian effort on his part. You know, vegetarians eat vegetables. What do humanitarians eat?
You're right. You're right.
And the other thing, and this is at this point pure rumor, but I've now heard it from two different places, and I'm really hoping it's not true.
Okay.
And the rumor is that among the other things we have done at Guantanamo and a couple of the other detention facilities that we are running is that we have allowed the drug companies to do medical experiments on psychiatric drugs to try to soften up these prisoners.
Oh, no. No, no, not the whole LSD thing all over again, please.
No, it's more like the Adolf Eichmann thing.
The Mengele stuff?
Mengele, yeah.
Well, you know, first of all, you said detention facilities, and far be it from me, but we got to take the language back a little bit, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
I was being
nice.
I know, but these are prisons.
They're not prisons. They are torture camps and rape camps.
Yeah, the concentration camps. Sure.
You know, what percentage of the people do you have to kill before we can call it a death camp?
You know,
there were some Nazi concentration camps where not all that large a percentage of people were killed.
That's
true. But we still call them all death camps.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I know that you share a common feeling with me that it sickens you to the very baseline of your guts to contemplate that this is something that is happening with the connivance of the American people, or the tacit cooperation of the American people? We're a torture nation now, Ben.
Yeah, we are, and we're a nation that does mass graves.
Yep.
Rape rooms.
Don't forget the rape rooms.
Oh yeah, and rape rooms. And you know, we did mass graves in Afghanistan. We had prisoners that had surrendered to us. In the early part of that war, a lot of the Taliban, especially a lot of the foreign fighters who had gone there to support the Taliban, surrendered to us because they didn't want to fight the United States.
Right.
They were there to fight for a ecclesiastical government in Afghanistan to create an Islamic state. That's why they were there.
And not just that, if you remember the so-called American Taliban, John Walker Lind, he went there specifically to go and fight over the disputed Kashmir territory.
Precisely. None of these people had anything to do, well, some of them did, but very few of these people had anything to do with Osama bin Laden, who was just sort of a hanger-on there, that because he provided some money, the Taliban let him stay.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
And so when we showed up, a lot of the Taliban, you know, the reason there wasn't a whole lot of resistance, a lot of them surrendered to us. Okay?
And we killed them.
Well, yeah, we did. We turned them over to the Northern Alliance. Our prisoners that we had a Geneva Convention duty to maintain in a safe fashion, we gave the Northern Alliance shipping containers.
Yes.
Large, gasketed, airtight shipping containers, which they then crammed full of people, like the infamous story of the Black Hole of Calcutta.
Right.
And then they put them on trucks and drove them through the desert for 3 days.
Yeah, get it nice and hot in there.
Yep, and then when they shoveled everybody out of there, surprise, there were about 100 dead people.
Well, and one of those shipping containers, I remember reading an account then where Northern Alliance fighters didn't even go to that much of a hassle. They just let it sit there, let them bake for a while. When the screams got loud enough, they opened up on them with machine guns.
Yep.
Just shot holes through the containers and let the blood run out.
Then the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers gave them earth-moving equipment to use, and they dug a huge trench.
That would be a mass grave.
That would be a mass grave. And the International Committee of the Red Cross has been there and dug up people.
So when do we get the war crimes trials?
When we're defeated somehow. Not until this nation is actually defeated in a war by somebody do we get war crimes trials, because they're never going to allow us to vote again. Yeah. If what happens in Congress is what I think is going to happen in the Senate, and the Democrats actually just decide to roll over, roll over and allow the filibuster to go, or roll over and compromise and let them have any judge they want, we will never be able to vote again, because they will pack the Supreme Court with their people.
As if it wasn't already.
And, well, you know, we still got a couple of people on the Supreme Court who've got some decency, and therefore they don't get everything they want.
Yeah, those are the ones that Pat Robertson's out there praying for him to get cancer.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so what's going to happen is, as soon as the Supreme Court can do anything it wants to do, because they know they'll never be impeached, stare decisis is gone. As is any actual recourse to the language of the Constitution itself, except to twist it to give some false justification to a ruling. It's all going to be like Bush v. Gore. And what's going to happen is you're going to see that state laws mandating paper ballots or auditable ballots are ruled unconstitutional, and that what's more, initiatives limiting access to the ballot to various people for various reasons are also going to be found constitutional. Okay?
Sure. Yeah.
They're going to tell you you can't vote in, there've actually been talk about this in one state. I forget where I read about it, where if you file bankruptcy, you can't vote.
Well, I knew there were some ID provisions. I hadn't heard that one, Ben. I knew there were some ID provisions, like Georgia and Indiana, they're banging around.
Uh-huh.
And people say, well, so what if you know, all you got to do is show your driver's license to vote. You know, doggone it, you do all that when you register. This is just a brand new Jim Crow for, you know, not just black folks or Latino folks. It's for, you know, Democrat folks and white folks and poor folks and anybody who's not voting along, St. George's party line.
Right. And my opinion is that we have, that this week, the fight over the filibuster, either the Democrats show spine and stand up to this, and if it goes through, stop the operation of the Senate.
Yeah.
Okay, if they don't do this, then we will never have a free, fair, and open election in this country again. And the Republican Party will rule. It will be like that scene in the Reichstag when finally the moderates voted with the Nazis and undid, and threw the Social Democrats out, and the Nazis stood on their feet and sang their anthem. It's going to be like that in our Senate. And I am sick to my gut about this. I mean, just to the core of my being.
Yeah. And because, I'm sure that there's some little wingnut out there listening to this conversation right now, Ben, saying, well, them liberals, they hate America. But,
oh, I love America, and I love this Constitution. And
yeah.
I'm probably going to die defending this Constitution.
Well, if there's anything... what is it? I think Falstaff says self-preservation is the first law of nature. Somebody said that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy into that. And if you're going to die for something, the Constitution's pretty darn well worth it. Not going to die. I'm not going to send my kids, or I'm not going to volunteer to go die for somebody's need to fill up their SUV. Not going to do it. Not willing to die so that. Preachers can preach politics from the pulpit. Not worth it. Constitution, worth it.
Yep. And it's like my feeling about this country now is that we are in a cold civil war.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And the steps are being taken by the Republicans to ensure that it becomes a hot civil war. They're preparing for it. They understand this.
Why, Ben? Why in God's name? Would they want that?
Because it fits with their apocalyptic vision.
Is this the part where Jesus comes down with the golden Cadillac and stuff?
I think so.
And then the surviving Republicans get to go kill some Jews?
Yep. And some of them just want to see us all dead anyway.
We're not doing America any good. I mean, it's not like we're creating tax cuts for the wealthiest 1% of the country or anything. I mean,
that's right. Well, I tell you, that wealthiest 1%, I just hope that they've got their nice walled communities with lots of guards.
Yeah, I do too.
Because you know what's going to happen? If things go as they continue to go as I see them going, there is going to be some hell to pay.
I think you're right. And just so we can end this with a little smile for you, Ben, I don't know if you've seen this or not. I know you follow things in the sex industry or George is going to sit down to dinner with a porn star.
Well,
did you see that?
Yeah,
one?
Let me explain that one to you.
Okay.
Okay. Now, Mary Carey, who is the porn star, she's a friend of a friend. All right.
Okay.
I, she's a very sharp person. Also ran for governor out there.
Right.
They got an invitation because they're a member of a business group. So they bought the ticket.
Right.
Bush has no idea who she is. They don't know that they've invited a porn star. Well, they do now. And
they're really excited.
They'll be seated.
You think they won't be seated?
No. No, they're not even going to be allowed in. The Secret Service or somebody pretending to be the Secret Service will stop them at the door.
That's kind of a shame. George might have enjoyed it. Well, then again, we don't know if he likes girls.
Well, I suspect he probably doesn't. Now we found out today then at the Daily Kos, that there was a lot more in and out on the part of Jeff Gannon into the White House than we had previously suspected, because he was coming in and out without ever being in the Secret Service logs.
Something is rotten in the state of Denmark, Ben.
Something is very rotten. Somehow this fellow was able to slip in through the kitchen door.
I hear Astroglide's good for that.
Or 10W40 motor oil.
Oh, man. Ben, have a good evening.
You take care, sir.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, time for a break. When we come back, more of your calls. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Now, see, this is the moment where we need the bumper music of the Beatles singing She Came In Through the Bathroom Window. Yeah. We're working on it. The show's growing. Yeah, be patient. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Any of you guys out there looking for the girl next door? Because I know where you can find her. Cupid.com. It's a place to meet women that live close by. Cupid.com isn't interested in compiling some big worldwide network. They're focused on putting you in touch with the cuties you pass on the way to work. People who share your same area code. Basic Cupid memberships are free with small obligations. You can even reply to messages from board members, a service you usually pay for on other sites. You can remain anonymous and still put Cupid's auto-match to work, locating women with your favorite traits and qualities. Bigger online dating sites show you a universe of women, which is perfect if you're into long-distance relationships. But Cupid.com shrinks that world to women right in your backyard, because the girl next door never lives three states away. Find your true love at Cupid.com, either online or one of our four local events.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
From the National Institutes of Health, this is Health Beat. If you've got high blood pressure, your doctor may tell you that you've got to use the DASH eating plan. That's Dietary Approaches to Stop Hypertension. Dr. Daniel Jones, Dean of the School of Medicine at the University of Mississippi Medical Center, explains.
The DASH eating plan promotes the intake of a high amount of fresh fruits and vegetables, typically in the range of 5 servings a day. Also, it promotes the use of low-fat dairy products, which will ensure a good calcium intake. And when combined with an approach to reducing sodium in the diet, can have very significant effects on blood pressure.
Just in case you were wondering if a vegetarian diet is an option to consider, Dr. Jones says that while it's a rational approach, vegetarians are less likely, but not immune, from having high blood pressure. To learn more about the DASH eating plan, visit nhlbi.nih.gov and search the phrase DASH eating plan. I'm Phil Stevenson for Health Beat.
Welcome back. Yeah, no fooling around. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. Don't have time. Don't have time to play with things that aren't factual. And this is factual. I mentioned it in our phone call with Ben. Porn star and former gubernatorial candidate Mary Carey will be joining her boss. I guess I can say this. It's the name of the business. Kick-Ass Pictures president Mark Culkis. In attending a dinner with President Bush in Washington, D.C. on June the 14th. Culkis was invited to attend the event by the National Republican Congressional Committee. You remember the National Republican Congressional Committee? These are the people that gave the Businessman of the Year award to the guy a couple of weeks ago who had felony convictions for just ripping off of $500,000 or so dollars. Yeah, that National Republican Congressional Committee. Over a 2-day course of NRCC events preceding the dinner, Kerry and Culkis will be attending a meeting with presidential advisor Karl Rove, giving their recommendations on important national issues. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Nudge is as good as a wink to a blonde man. Sign them all. Culkis said, "I'm honored to be invited to this event. The Republicans bill themselves as the pro-business party. Well, you won't find a group of people more pro-business than pornographers. We contributed over $10 billion to the national economy last year." Yes, sir. They'll give you the business, all right. But here's my favorite part of it. Mary Carey added, I'm especially looking forward to meeting Karl Rove. Smart men like him are so sexy. I know that he's against gay marriage, but I think I can convince him the little girl-on-girl action now and then isn't so bad. Edith. Oh. It makes sense. It makes sense that it... But you have to. Ben's probably right. They'll never make. They won't make it to the door. They'll get shut out, and they'll say, "Well, we didn't understand that that was a dirty movie the production company. We thought that was just somebody that did really good photographs." Mary Carey. I thought we were getting Harry Carey. Holy cow! Day after day after day. Where do you suppose the right-wing religion industry is on this one? Lining up for more tickets, that's where, because they want to hang out with the porn star, because they've probably seen a lot of her movies. You know, sit around watching them while they're abusing little children. Ugh. Mary Carey has been the exclusive contract girl for the company since 2003. Kulkus served as her campaign manager during the recall election of a couple of years ago. She says, I'm hoping to run as lieutenant governor of California next year. Since Arnold is a Republican, I thought this dinner would be a great networking opportunity for me. And Karl Rove turns her on. My skin is crawling. There are times that I read... Of course, you know, I mean, I'm a liberal, I'm a progressive, you know, if nobody's getting hurt, if people engage in these things with from a consensual basis, fine by me. I don't have to be into it. Some people are, some people aren't. But this is the National Republican Congressional Committee. Remember them? Yeah, they're the ones that say that moral values are so important. They're oh, God. What do you make of this kind of thing? Well, it's probably not even real. He's just making it up. Nope, sorry, it's all over the internet today. Real live, honest to God news. June 14th, dinner, George Bush, Mary Carey porn star. But, you know, I don't. Does George get to bring a date? Will Prince Abdullah be there? Maybe it's not the girl on girl action we should be worried about. I know. Listen, bottom of the hour break time. When we come back, more of your phone calls, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Now, I didn't want to just bring somebody on to talk for 2 minutes, and then, but you understand. You know how this works. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWN On News. One man is dead after crashing his motorcycle on Route 19 in Bradley. Sheriff's deputies say 19-year-old Kevin Allen Kroger Jr. from Oak Hill was traveling north around 7:40 last night when his motorcycle left the right edge of the road and struck a street sign. Kroger was thrown from the bike, pronounced dead at Raleigh General. No other vehicles were involved. Kroger was on leave from the U.S. Air Force. One man is in the hospital after being struck by a truck in a Beckley doctor's parking lot. City police say a disturbance involving four people broke out in Dr. Fahim's parking lot yesterday afternoon. As one man was leaving in his Ford pickup, he struck another man. The man hit was taken to Raleigh General. Extent of injuries not known today. The names of the victims and the driver are being withheld pending possible criminal charges. A single vehicle accident on Route 19 Thursday evening has sent one person to the hospital. A late model Lexus was traveling south near the Mount Hope exit when it went through the median and crossed into the northbound traffic. The vehicle struck a tree and came to rest, but it took 30 minutes for firefighters to extricate a man from the vehicle with the jaws of life. an effort by a Charleston native to break a Guinness World unicycle record this week while raising $10,000 for young Afghan circus performers, has been postponed until this fall. 23-year-old Zach Warren hopes to break the unicycle record of 6 hours 44 minutes for 100 miles and present a hefty check to the Afghan Mobile Mini Circus for Children. Mercer County authorities are searching for suspects in the murder of a Green Valley tattoo artist. Michael White was fatally shot in the parking lot of the Dragon's Den around 2:30 yesterday afternoon. Witnesses say they saw a vehicle carrying more than one person fleeing the scene. State police and sheriff's deputies say they've interviewed a large number of people and are still looking for more witnesses. A special crime scene investigative unit from Fayetteville has been involved in the investigation. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Still partly cloudy and also still a slight chance of showers this evening and earlier tonight. Otherwise, partly cloudy tonight and much cooler, low 45. For Saturday, partly sunny, upper 60s. Clear Saturday night, low 45. And for Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 70. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Friends, there is someone among us who has a big problem, and he needs our help. Knowing the innate generosity of Americans, I'm certain that you'll reach out and do all you can to assist Mr. Lee Raymond. He's the CEO of ExxonMobil, and wait till you hear about his desperate situation. His company has so much cash that he doesn't know what to do with it. And you thought you had problems. Here is Fortune Magazine's gloomy analysis of the situation. Lee Raymond suddenly has a new anxiety, how to spend the windfall wrought by $55 a barrel oil. By the end of April, Exxon had a cash hoard of more than $25 billion. And if crude prices stay where they are, this geometrically growing bonanza could soon give Exxon more cash on hand than any other U.S. company. Each dollar jump in the price of a barrel of oil adds another $500 million in earnings. Based on current prices, Exxon is accumulating more than $1 billion a month, even after allocating for dividends, share repurchases, and capital spending. If oil simply stays where it is now, Exxon's cash could approach $40 billion in 12 months. I have no doubt that you feel Mr. Raymond's pain and will want to help him cope with, as Fortune expressed it, the headache of what to do with all that cash. If you have suggestions, email them to me and I'll forward them directly to Mr. Raymond. Just to get your creative juices flowing, I'll offer an obvious way for Exxon to end this crisis of excess cash gushing into its coffers. Stop gouging us at the pump. Each dollar of those billions causing such a headache for Mr. Raymond comes out of your and my pockets. Exxon doesn't have to rip us off just because it can. It could pass on some of its windfall oil profits to its gasoline customers in the form of lower prices. This is Jim Hightower saying, but I'm sure you have more creative suggestions. Send your ideas for easing Mr. Raymond's headache to me. info@jimhightower.com.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.pla.org.
WWNR Beckley.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On for a rainy Friday night, but it's still beautiful in beautiful Uptown Beckley. That's beautiful Uptown Beckley's job, being beautiful. And, you know, if my tiller... the only reason it's raining is because my tiller isn't working. Now, I ascribe to this sort of, you know, the seamless web approach to life and the interconnectedness of all things. And I think my tiller is at the center of the universe come gardening time. but that's me. Back to the phones, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620. WWNR, we do have a line open if you want to jump in. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, thanks for waiting.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. How about you?
Play Misty for me. How's that?
Yeah, that's good.
Pursuant to one of your callers, I believe the last one, and the use of psychotropic drugs on prisoners.
Yeah.
That has long been practiced in American prisons. And I direct your attention to a book by Jessica Mitford called Cruel and Unusual Punishment, in which drug companies use prison population because they're cheaper than chimpanzees. And that is the chapter that I direct your attention to in the book, Cheaper Than Chimpanzees.
Cruel and Usual Punishment?
Exactly. Jessica Mitford. Her sister was Unity Mitford.
Yeah.
Who was the devotee of Adolf Hitler.
Right.
And of course, Jessica went the other way. She was a devotee of Stalin. But nonetheless, she's written several books, one about the American penal industry and the other about the American pharmaceutical industry and the experimentation done on prisoners. There's one drug called Prolixin, for example, and they use it on prisoners, and they give them candy, cigarettes, and things like that. But one of the contraindications of Prolixin is it causes a deterioration of the femoral nerve sheath. And in layman's terms, that's sort of like taking the outer stripping off of a wire.
Well, yeah, it's
the nerve exposed.
It's the same thing. It's the same level of degeneration that occurs in multiple sclerosis.
They're very much alike. What I wanted to talk to you about very quickly, and it's going to make you feel real good, is about the National Security Agency, okay?
Okay.
And my source is a book of The Body of Secrets by James Spanford.
Okay.
And, you know, the National Security Agency is headquartered at Fort Meade, and it's in a huge glass black cube over there. It's quite an interesting-looking structure, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this agency has twice the assets in terms of staff and budget, in terms of TONE and allocation. It has a budget of $6 billion. Bob, it employs 60,000 people. It has 5,000 spies and 30,000 eavesdroppers on contract basis. Now, they have special satellites that are tasked with retrieving information, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And feeding it into supercomputers. They're called Cray supercomputers.
Yeah, I'm familiar
with
Cray.
They can process 64 billion individual questions per second. There, in other words, in 3 hours, there is more information fed into these supercomputers by a system called Intelsat every 3 hours than is contained in the Library of Congress. If you were to take everything in the Library of Congress and put it in an electronic format, then basically within 3 hours, you would get the same amount of information fed from the satellites into the supercomputers, and they are all over the world. There's a huge complex in England, 562 acres, called, Midland Hill. And basically, what I'm trying to tell you is, a gnat can't break wind unless they know about it.
Right. So 6'7" Arabic terrorists with attached portable dialysis units.
Bob, look, I've seen some of the pictures taken by some of these satellites. Just, you know, and I've seen a picture of a man, and in his shirt pocket, I could read Marlboro.
Right. From 5 miles up.
5 miles up. That's right. And all this information not only applies to visual surveillance, but also surveillance on your telephone, on your fax, on your computer, and everything. And, you know, we have probably the best informed government of any government in the world.
Yeah, and, that's what's,
you know,
scary.
They don't need to ask any questions because they already probably know the answers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
And it's just something that doesn't really make me feel real happy, but, you know, nonetheless, it's just incredible that the National Security Administration has twice the assets of the FBI and CIA put together.
And yet we had to have an intelligence overhaul, right?
Right.
And
but they have twice the assets of the FBI and CIA put together, a $6 billion budget, and they get everything they ask for, and basically it's just incredible the amount of information that is fed and processed every day on everybody, period.
I guess it's an easy tyranny so far if you don't rock the boat, right?
I would think so, yeah. It's just absolutely mind-blowing. I mean, but none of this is classified. All this information is in the public domain. And, you know, it's just something that I just wanted to share. I know this started out with Chatter, and I read Chatter,
right.
And I picked up the other source, some of the sources for Chatter, and that's what I do. You know, I'll get a book, and then I'll find out what
try to chase it down.
And chase it down, right. You know, that's just the nature of my mind. Maybe I'm all screwed up that way, but I feel a little bit more comfortable with doing that. And, you know, it's just incredible what they can do. It really is. And I don't know what's going to happen with all this information and stuff, but how they can have any question about who did what to whom and over this Newsweek article is beyond me, because they know exactly what happened.
Well, yeah, and this, but and there is no question, Jim. There's no question about who did what to whom. They know exactly what was done. But they are relying on the sheepish ignorance of the American people to not know about the Washington Post article, to not know about the January 2005 article from the Philadelphia Inquirer, to not know about the International Red Cross report that verified these very same things, to not know about the Sunday Times of London or any of these other publications or agencies that have reported on our free and easy use of torture in these, Ben's right, death camps.
Exactly. And he's right, too, because, you know, right after the socialists voted with the Nazis, they sang the horse whistle lead, the horse whistle song.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, there's one other thing I want to air out, and I'm going to get off here and let the other people talk. You know, and I said this yesterday to the people or to an individual who is so supportive of the war in Iraq and all this. You know, tomorrow is Armed Forces Day.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that means a great deal to me, because that portion of the government is very close to my heart and my career.
And not to mention the fact that when your country called, you answered.
Exactly. And, you know, what I say to these people, and I say to one particular caller who is always supporting Bush and his war in Iraq and calling people who don't support it un-Americans and saying that we hate Bush, you know, at first, Bush is not worth hating. I don't hate anybody, because that takes energy out of me. These are the people who hate. But to these people who support it, and if you're 35 years old and under, I've got some numbers that I'll be glad to give John for the U.S. Army Recruiting Battalion over at Mallard Court.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be glad to come pick this guy up and take him over to the MEPS and give him the ASVAB. And he said he's had a weight problem. And we can, you know, get him on the U.S. military's version of Jenny Craig.
I don't think it's Jenny Craig, Jim.
Well, we'll just call it, like, for a better term. But, I mean, you know, tell him, and, you know, if he's listening, it's simply another opportunity in which he can excel.
I understand.
If you don't help out in the kitchen, I look at it this way. You can't sit at the head table.
And, you know, that's a great analogy, Jim, and I kind of lived that last night and enjoyed the dickens out of doing it, too.
Right.
If you're going to support wholesale slaughter and a policy of invading any little defenseless third world country that you want, it's kind of incumbent upon you, isn't it, to...
get in there and do it.
Yeah.
And say, Daddy, this is what when you're sitting by your fireside with your grandchildren on your knee.
Yeah, the Patton speech.
You'd be able to tell them that I didn't shovel, you know what, Louisiana, like Patton said, you know?
Right, exactly.
But, I mean, you know, it just makes me sick to hear these people get up there and enthuse about patriotism and this, that, and the other, but yet they want some other poor bastard to have to do the work for them.
I know, and the thing, it also kind of crawls all over me that... The selective use of information. I try to avail myself of as much as I possibly can, Jim. And I've got this story from, I guess, yesterday,
mm-hmm.
Where our own generals in Iraq say, we can't, you know, Jethro mentioned it, we can't reduce our force in Iraq by the end of the year. It may be many years before we can even think about going out. So when I hear many years, you know, I've heard the argument made, Jim, that, well, you know, we've only, and this is another one that just makes the skin crawl on the back of my neck, we've only lost 1,600 American soldiers in Iraq.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, hey, the thing about it is, when these people get in there and they are sunshine patriots, I call them, and they don't know what it's like to look at somebody that you once knew, and it's only half a person there.
Well, I know,
and
it's
a massive and
what is it?
And goo.
What is it?
It's a horrible situation, but I mean, the generals are using the word now that this cannot be sustained.
Right.
I mean, that is the operative word in their reports. This is unsustainable. And they realize that with it, given our current military assets, they cannot be continued to be used like this and without some type of relief. I mean, we're talking about manpower.
Well, you know,
boots on the ground.
I know. What did we lose in Vietnam, Jim?
56,000 to 58,000 people.
Okay, well, I just rounded it to 55,000. And we've got, and you've got, you used the word sunshine patriot, and I think that's absolutely appropriate. We've only lost 1,600 people, you know.
Only lost 1,600 people.
And that, you know, between 10 and 20,000 maimed for life and just ruined. But if you consider 1963 to 1975, roughly 12 years, 55,000 dead, that works out to 4,583 dead a year.
Right.
Only 4,583.
Exactly.
And the front end of that war had...
And that doesn't count the people in black pajamas.
Right. Well, they don't. They never count.
No, they never do.
Just like the brown people in Iraq don't count. The mommies with babies suckling at the breast who were blown up in the middle of the night by American munitions, they don't count either.
No, and it's just, you know, honestly and truly, this is not a good thing. And, you know, these people who think that we're on God's side when we do this, I think they're seriously mistaken.
Well, I mean, let's
I know they are.
It may sound like a silly question, Jim, but how many are there in a many? When a general says it may take many years, and you compare that with Don Rumsfeld saying we may be there for 10 years or 15, 20 years, can we average to 15? And at that point, can we
and extrapolate how many people?
Yeah, how many people are going to go on Georgia?
We've been there for how many for two years?
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about a minimum. Probably, I would say, given the acceleration of the action, we're talking about 100,000 people.
Okay, so you know, that's gonna, you know, George likes to win, Jim. So that means he gets to build a bigger monument on the Mall than the Vietnam War Memorial. So that means George wins. So that means he's happy. This man, Jim, I get accused of hyperbole and everything under the sun. Got this lady that's all chapped at me about whatever I said. These people feast on human flesh. Okay, they're cannibals.
They do. They do. They definitely.
They advance their policies on human flesh. They grow the value of their stock portfolios on human blood. And you know what? I'm like you. I hesitate to use the word hate. But
well,
damned if I don't despise a human being that's willing to do that and pray to Almighty God that there really is a burning hell so that these SOBs can go to it.
Well, you know, here's the thing, my friend, and I'm leaving. What does it gain us a man of peace? What does it profit a man of peace gain the entire world?
And lose his own soul.
But this, for this mess of pottage,
Emphasis on the word mess.
It's a big mess. Listen, I hope you have a good weekend. I hope you enjoyed your experience last night.
I did indeed.
And if you've got some, you got some sinus problems,
I'm battling allergies. It's just driving me nuts.
Well, I tell you, you know, get some poppers. That'll take care of it every time. Get some Rush or Locker Room.
Oh God, Jim.
And I'll guarantee you one thing: you'll have some pep in your step, a tilt in your kilt, and some pride in your stride.
You have a great weekend.
Bye bye.
Take it easy. That's a remedy that hadn't been suggested. you know, we're talking about our military action in Iraq. And this was a story from New York Newsday. Iraq's most wanted man, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, was injured and almost captured. Oh, where's that Maxwell Smart thing when we need it?
Missed him by that much!
Almost captured during a recent U.S. offensive near the Iraqi-Syrian border, according to Iraqi security officials. You know, the guys that weren't there. Al-Zarqawi was not badly wounded, and he managed to escape during the week-long U.S. siege of the town of Al-Qaim. Said two senior security officials who spoke by phone from Iraq and asked not to be named. The officials said their information was based on interrogations of insurgents captured in the area. Now, here's the quote that I highlighted. He was hiding out in Qaim or in the surrounding regions, one official said. He was apparently surprised by the American operation. We definitely know he's somewhere. U.S. intelligence officials say they have heard reports about al-Zarqawi being injured, but they have been unable to confirm them. Oh, okay. We don't rule it out, said a U.S. official familiar with the CIA's reporting on the issue. The guy is racing around and is in harm's way, so you can't rule out the possibility. It's hard to corroborate when the guy is a ghost running around out there somewhere. We try to track... Listen, what did Jim tell you? We try to track him as best we can. In other words, we don't have any clue. We're clueless. We got nothing. And let's see, al-Zarqawi's lieutenants met in Syria last month to plot the escalation. Senior U.S. military official who briefed reporters Wednesday in Baghdad said al-Zarqawi might have attended the meeting. Or he might have had coffee. Quite possibly he may have gone to a spa. Then again, he might have sat home and watched a soccer match on television while the power was on. He might have attended the meeting. Do you see how silly this is? And so we try to track him as best we can, and we've got some pretty highfalutin stuff for tracking people. And you do remember, we're terribly, terribly prone to forgetting. Do you remember that before the war, the Bush administration had a chance to nab Zarqawi, and they deliberately didn't do it because they thought it would weaken the case for war? Remember that? Nope, you've forgotten it because... Well, I'm not talking about the liberals and progressives. In other words, the decent people. But the wing nuts have forgotten it. Heck, they didn't listen to it in the first place. He was hiding out in Qaim or in the surrounding region. Or maybe he was in Baghdad or Mosul or Tikrit or Basra or Ramadi. He was somewhere. He's definitely in Iraq. Definitely. Of course, an excellent driver. Drives slow in the driveway. Definitely. Yeah, Wabner. Kind of makes you, I never know quite how to feel about the leadership of the military. You know, this General Richard Myers, people like that. Abizade, Ricardo Sanchez, who countenanced torture in George Bush's rape rooms at Abu Ghraib. On the one hand, I look and I say, well, you know, I guess the in terms of leadership, it's the winnowing of souls, because we're certainly not turning out any Pattons. We're not turning out any MacArthurs. We're not turning out any Eisenhowers. God knows we're not turning out any Marshalls. We're not turning out any Beatle Smiths. I don't know what we're turning out, but by the same token, I feel terribly, terribly sorry for these people, you know, the high brass who have devoted their lives to learning how to use one of the best militaries on the face of planet Earth, and are committed to using that military, I would presume and hope, in manners consistent with the behavior of a republic, democratic in nature. But ultimately, they have to take the orders of people like George Bush when it comes time for the rubber to hit the road. And if George Bush wants to break the military, George Bush gets to break the military. It's that simple. So we're in a position now where we've got things like, well, we try to track him as best we can. He's in Qaim or the surrounding region, somewhere in Iraq, country the size of California. Not sure where. We try to track him as best we can. And yet, for all this genius, and for all the historical precedent, you know, we've only seen it a million times. Kill Zarqawi. Fine. Another guy takes his place. Kill him too. Another guy takes his place. Kill that guy. Another guy takes his place. It's an algebra that we can't keep up with unless we are willing to put one American for every Iraqi in that country. Because when you invade and occupy a country, the fundamental urge to not be occupied will drive ordinary human beings to extraordinary acts. Abu Musab al-Zarqawi is not the only guy in Iraq who knows how to put dynamite in a suitcase and stick it in the trunk of a car. There are lots of people who know how to do it, and they have lots of stuff to stick in the trunks. If you recall the, fire sale at the munitions dumps that George's brain trust didn't see fit to, you know, secure. Remember that. You do remember. I'm sure you do. So we're in this bizarre algebra of killing people who know how to put dynamites in suitcases and put the suitcases in trunks, and we seem to think that somewhere along the way we get to win. Ask the Israelis if they have won. Ask the Israelis if they have not impassioned an entire generation who are willing to blow themselves up just to try to get a message across. How desperate does that become? And that's what we're doing. We are turning, if we haven't already, we're turning Iraq into the occupied territories. And we're doing it with the connivance of some people that think that call themselves American and think it's really cool to beat up third world countries. And by the way, the Iraqis aren't going to take it very well, those pictures that the Americans took of Saddam and his tighty-whities. It's not going to play well. Oh, but we didn't do that! Who took the pictures? Who's got custody of Saddam Hussein? That would be us. Who controls access to Saddam Hussein? Oh, that would be us. We did it. And you know we did it. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Thank you for listening to the station that puts you one-on-one with the people and the issues that matter most to you. News Talk 620, WWNR.
Beckley. Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR. Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
You two are real actors, huh?
And you're going to play our parents for how long?
Oh, just during dinner for the next few years.
There's no substitute for a loving parent. And when you're really there, they'll know how much you care.
According to the script, we're supposed to ask you how your day was.
Okay, I guess.
Cool. Is that the best you can do?
In the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast. And now, here's the five-day forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. We're in northwest flow and expect some clearing late tonight. Low 44 will rebound on Saturday with abundant sunshine and high pressure to 68 for the high. Sunday's weather won't change too much. Partial cloudiness with a high around 70 expected, and the next chance for thunderstorms ahead of a frontal system will be Monday.
Thank you for listening to the station that puts you one-on-one with the people and the issues that matter most to you. News Talk 620, WWNR. You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head On with Bob Kincaid.
Just told John Kepi, I want my sinuses back. I wake up in the morning, in the afternoon, I mean, we know what sleep patterns are, and it's like puberty all over again. Honey? Yeah, well, get yourself a cup of hot tea. Yeah, brother. No, keep on trying, though. Maybe over the weekend. Get a little break. Now, we were talking about the whole thing. What do you call Iraq now? The Iraqmire? Iraqnam? Vietrock? And I know what Flush Flimball says about all that garbage. My friends, it's because of the journalists. You know, this from a guy who was saying that this afternoon that dolphins have fingers. Yeah, I know. But anyway, as far as, you know, I used to be all high-minded. Not like that. And I'd say things like, peace will only come to the occupied territories when the Palestinians learn nonviolence and a new Gandhi arises in the Palestinian territories. And, of course, you know, I expected them to learn nonviolence with American-made helicopters hovering overhead and occasionally sending rockets into the places where little children live. You know, just like mountaintop removers here occasionally drop boulders on little sleeping three-year-old boys. In short, I was apparently on crack when I was saying this. I don't know. But it ain't going to happen. You don't get Gandhi in situations like occupied Palestine or occupied Iraq. The first response of an aggrieved people is to fight back and try to shed blood in return for blood shed by any means necessary. You hear? By any means necessary. And, you know, of course, the faith-based Republicans who love this war will keep on saying, why won't they tell some of the good things that are going on in Iraq? You know, what good things? The fact that some people get to have electricity for 6 hours a day when they used to have it for 24? The fact that virtually every family in Iraq now knows someone or has a relative who has been killed by you and me, our government? It goes on and on and on in occupied Palestine. Because we're not directly involved with, that's those crazy Palestinians. But we're getting, somebody's wiped the Vaseline off the lens, and we're getting a little bit sharper focus on it in Iraq. These people who hate having their freedom denied, they will kill anyone, just to make the point that they're a little less than thrilled to trade Saddam in his tidy whiteys for some other dictator. And make no mistake, the government over there is dictatorial. It's the very living, breathing, walking definition of a shadow government when the very members of the government themselves won't let their names out. And again, what I said is very, very true. Saddam in his tidy whiteys, have you seen the pictures? I'm sure you've seen the pictures. That's not going to play well with the Iraqis because they may have hated his guts. Some of them, remember, didn't hate his guts. And now he is being mocked in his status as, what is he, a prisoner of war? Detainee? I don't know. But there he stands in a pair of Jockeys or Hanes or, I don't know, maybe Walmart specials. And I guess the right-wingers think it's funny. I think that's a recipe for disaster. And again, I ask you, if we didn't take the photographs, who did? Did the Red Cross take them? I doubt it, because they frown on that kind of exploitation. But doesn't have a lawyer. He's being held by us at the Baghdad airport in a secure, undisclosed location. We're the only ones who see him. Ergo, it follows that we had to take the photographs, and that burns me with shame. Because really, this isn't that complicated. All you have to do is ask, how would I feel if they were doing it to an American? And we would, of course, bomb whatever country did it into oblivion if they did it to one American. We have an administration that claims, oh, we're not at war with Islam, and does everything in its power to convince us that, yeah, we kind of are at war with Islam, aren't we? But eventually, I guess, in Iraq, because it was once, in fact, a secular society under Saddam, a few brave souls will stand up. And they'll sit in a circle. And they'll advertise, feel free to blow us up. The same number of human beings will be here tomorrow. Americans, freedom fighters, insurgents, terrorists, whatever, feel free to blow them up too. The next day, another circle will form. Blow them up. Blow up the group that shows up the next day and the day after that. And after a while, it's going to get embarrassing, especially within a culture that prides itself upon its hospitality. I'm guessing the insurgents will stop blowing up people before the Americans do. But the Americans, we, you, me, us, will stop too, someday. Because even Americans have a gag reflex for murder. Some of us. Now, if it's murder for hire or murder for money, there are a lot of Americans who have had that gag reflex deadened. George Bush, Dick Cheney, Don Rumsfeld, Halliburton as a whole, Kellogg, Byrne, and Lute, GE. The list is endless. But most of America, and you can see it in the polling data, most of America is getting its gullet full of murder. How about you? Have you had it up to your neck with murder in your name? How long has it been since you dropped an email to your congressman or your senator or even that person who purports to be the president of the United States to say, we really do object to murder done in our name because it's taking up a whole lot of time that we spend praying for the forgiveness of Almighty God for what you're doing ostensibly for us. How long has it been? Tell you what, let's take a break. When we come back, story I was going to get to sooner or later, and I guess it's sooner now. Another one of those icky stories. Sorry. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
We built the world and we throw a party when we stand. Some guy refuses to fight, we call that the sin. He's standing up front and he's not there. That's his hurt and barriers. The boy's life, they look ahead.
Spring is here, so that means it's time for Let's Toyota's Spring Sales Event. And as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices, selection, no hassles. Choose from over 200 Toyotas. Park and drive with zero down. And make no payments till fall. That's right, zero down and zero payments till fall. Brand new 2005 Toyota Corollas, Camrys, 4Runners, Highlanders, Land Cruisers, Siennas, and more. With 17 models to choose from, find out which one is right for you. Spring Sales Event. Sign and buy with zero down and no payments till fall. Rush to L&S Toyota. 300 Rollmakers Drive in Beckley. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Great prices. Great selection. No hassle. Hurry, because when the spring sales event ends, so do the savings. Sign and buy with zero down and no payments till fall. On select models with a group credit. Enter the cruise related purchase and just for the worldwide. Roll 3 else free for less than 60 months at 6.5% of your highest offer ends 5/30/105.
There's a silent killer in our community. Black people, you better believe that strokes are hitting us hard. And a stroke doesn't care about your money or status. Know that it could be a stroke if you suddenly have problems speaking or seeing. Maybe one side gets numb or weak. If any of these occur, act immediately. Call 911. Act immediately. Call 911. Getting immediate medical help can be the difference between recovery and disability. Maybe it's happening to someone who's helped you. Now it's your turn to give back and help them. And help them. Strokes can be caused by high blood pressure, so I've taken my health seriously. Yeah, it looks good, but life looks even better. This is Kelly Price.
Blacks have a higher occurrence of stroke. Why is that? Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
WWNR Beckley.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid, Hanheim.
Welcome back. Winding down this rainy Friday night edition. Rainy here. Who knows what it is where you are. Hope you're enjoying one way or the other. Let's go to the phones. Jose is with us. Hey, Jose. You're head on.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Back again.
That's all right.
I'm trying to give you some municipal advice.
Uh-huh.
Everything's in bloom. Dandelion's in bloom. Clover.
Yep.
Orchard grass. Etc. And when we smoke, we compound.
Oh, I know. I wish I wasn't such a nicotine junkie. If I had any sense, I'd put them down.
Well, do you know how to quit?
No.
Want me to tell you?
Do please.
Don't buy anymore, and I won't charge you 15%.
Sound advice, Jose.
And?
Now all that stuff's in bloom, and every bit of it's just homing in on my sinuses.
Yeah, well, you keep coping. It's been rough on us all. And the reason why, Jim, he said that satellite can look at the Marlboros.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm the cigarette brother.
Okay.
The Marlboro Merlin.
Well, you take it easy, Jose.
Okay. Good night, Bob.
Bye now. Oh, yeah. Don't buy anymore. It makes perfect sense to me. I don't know how much sense it makes to the nicotine junkie that's also me, though. That's the tough part. I need to get my cigar habit back. Then people are like, oh, you're just like Rush Limbaugh. Back to the remember the Newsweek story? Well, apparently, there's some other troubles over there. No, really, Bob, you're kidding. There's other troubles over there. Besides rioting and government people in Afghanistan gunning down the rioters with American-made, there are other problems. You know what the Washington Times is, right? Sure you do. Especially the decent people, the liberals, the progressives. The Washington Times is that right-wing conservative rag in D.C. that is, in fact, owned by the Reverend Sun Myung-moon, as is United Press International. Well, it turns out a cartoon in the Washington Times is raising a bit of a stink in Pakistan. This particular cartoon was published on May the 6th, and it shows a U.S. soldier patting a dog that's Pakistan, and the dog is holding this Abu Faraj al-Libi. You remember Al-Qaeda terrorist lieutenant number 3, fixed in a series of number 3s, by the way. And the cartoon says, good boy. Now let's go find bin Laden. Now this is the Mooney Times saying that Pakistan and its leader, General Pervez Musharraf, who is himself a dictator, is George Bush's dog. Shh. Don't tell the wing nuts, but it's not playing very well in Pakistan. A survey carried out by the online news agency revealed hurt national pride, with people cutting across the class divide vocally demanding that the government quit supporting the U.S. in its war against terrorism. Huh, really? A lawyer, Nazir Ahmed, said, I think the Pakistan-U.S. relations on the war against terrorism would not continue anymore. The U.S. is wary of admitting that Pakistan helped the U.S. to find out its enemies. Then there's Muhammad Ali. No, not him. A student at Qaid-e-Azam University And he thinks the cartoon belittles Pakistan's anti-terror efforts and exposes how much the U.S. values Pakistan's role in the war on terror. The Pakistan embassy in Washington wasted no time in registering its protest against the cartoon. They deemed it insensitive, insulting, desultory. Mohammed Sadiq, Pakistan's charge d'affaires in Washington, said, "We are disgusted with the insensitivity of the editors of the Washington Times. They have insulted the 150 million people of Pakistan." Now, is it just me, or did I miss the press gaggle where Slytherin Scotty McClellan dropped the hammer on the Washington Times? Oh, didn't happen? Really? More right-wing hypocrisy? I'll be damned. Imagine that. Having a hissy over a bunch of trigger-happy Afghan soldiers in the pay of Hamid Karzai gunning down rioters. Having a hissy over that. But, you know, taking a powder on a right-wing scandal sheet like the Mooney Times. Imagine that. Couldn't be. Well, maybe Slither and Scotty was busy with Jimmy Jeff Ganniguck at the time, right? I mean, there's got to be time for pillow talk, right? In another instance, the government of Pakistan has expressed its dismay over a news report carried by Newsweek magazine about the Holy Quran, an inhuman treatment meted out to the detainees at the Guantanamo Bay's detention center. Mutahida Majlis Amal, Deputy Secretary General Liaquat Balok, said, "Our rulers are bending backwards to please Western rulers through propagating the concept of enlightened moderation while they are heaping insult on the country and nation through their media." He said, "This should serve as an eye-opener for government, which reflects that Islamabad has no status in the comedy of nations, especially in the eyes of the U.S. And of course he's right. This guy has apparently awakened to realize that just like any other nation on earth, just like any other thing on earth, the Bush administration uses human beings, uses governments to its own nefarious ends and discards them like common garbage when they are no longer useful. Saddam Hussein is living proof of that, isn't he? I mean, you've seen the photograph, of course. So you've seen the grin on Don Rumsfeld's face when he's standing there shaking hands with Saddam Hussein when he was sent over there to provide munitions so that Saddam could gas his own people. Yeah, you caught that, didn't you? How many members are there of this elite little fraternity now? Saddam, Manuel Noriega, creature of the CIA. What else? Help me here. I'm at a loss. I know there's several. Would Augusto Pinochet be one of those? Kind of, yeah, sort of. But you do business. You're better off doing business with the Corleones than you are doing business with the Bushes. Because the from The Godfather, the Corleones at least had a sense of honor, a code. The Bush family, on the other hand, is nothing but Machiavellian, vicious, bloodthirsty garbage. He's calling names again. No, I'm describing this rotten family to you. From Prescott Bush and his dealings with Fritz Thyssen, I don't know, my German's not so good. The Poppy Bush doing business with Manuel Noriega, Saddam Hussein. Oh, there's our other buddy. Yeah, Aslam Karimov. You really just don't want to miss out on him. Oh, Lord. Let's do talk about Aslam Karimov maybe in a couple of minutes. Are we up to 1,000 dead in Uzbekistan? And the Bush administration just really doesn't have anything to say about it. Yeah, Aslam Karimov, George Bush's buddy, I mentioned him earlier, boils people alive. "We went into Iraq because Saddam was a brutal dictator who gassed his own people." Well, column May 17th, 2005 from the Times Online. Times of London. A very, he's relying on international journalism. Just like that Anthony Kennedy relies on international law. When the West is your pal, you are able quite literally to get away with murder. And what murder? It's a surprise Karamov has time for governing at all. Once he has spent the morning formulating new ways to poach, grill, tenderize, smoke, and flambé his citizens to death. Boiling water, electrocution, chlorine-filled gas mask. He gasses his own people. Where's the invasion? Where's the high dudgeon of the Bush administration? Where's kind of sleazy Rice going to the United Nations with pictures of mobile weapons labs behind palm trees? Really, it's there, I promise. You hear the crickets? I know. We know they're hypocrites, but what really sucks is they make a hypocrite of all of us. Or at least they make hypocrites of those people who don't actively oppose their policies and their murders. We support Aslam Karimov. By extension, we support chlorine-filled gas masks and boiling human beings alive. Yeah, even the decent people. Because we tolerate it, and silence, damn it, silence is acceptance. Lord. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A suspect in last week's fatal shooting in Eccles has turned himself into state police. Donald Jesse from Columbus, Ohio, turned himself into the Beckley Detachment yesterday evening. He was wanted for the May 10th shooting of Adrian Peoples and also the wounding of Romello Heller, both from Columbus. The two men were shot May 10th during what police said was a drug deal that went bad at a house on Jenny Lynn Road in Eccles. Jesse is charged with first-degree murder, malicious wounding, and is being held in the Southern Regional Jail. State Police Sergeant D.R. Kincaid says further arrests could be made in that case. A regional jail inmate accused of making a bomb threat to the Nicholas County Prosecutor's Office in March has escaped a terroristic threat charge. Nicholas County Magistrate Bobby Gordon has found no probable cause for the charge against 22-year-old Nova Gerald Jr. of Richwood. Gerald was charged in March with making a terroristic threat after police accused him of phoning in a bomb threat to the Nicholas Prosecutor's Office from Central Regional Jail in Flatwoods. He's serving three consecutive one-year sentences for felony petty larceny. Also, he's being held on charges of entering without breaking and daytime burglary. The courthouse annex building in Somersville was evacuated, but no bomb was found. Within an hour, authorities knew where the call had come from. From HICO this evening, 18 former Survivor cast members are taking on a different challenge. That's the New River's Whitewater Rapids. At least 180 fans gathered at Songer Whitewater in HICO yesterday for an autograph and photo session with the Survivor veterans. The Survivor alumni are scheduled to wrap the river tomorrow. Residents of Crab Orchard have won a victory in their battle to fix traffic problems related to the opening of a new Walmart Supercenter. A left-turn lane was added to Robert Byrd Drive for northbound traffic turning into the store. That replaced an old turning lane that allowed residents of Redding Street to turn safely onto their road while heading south. For the rest of this evening, partly cloudy. Tonight, partly cloudy and chilly with a low near 45, but then for Saturday, a nice day. Partly to mostly sunny and cooler. Tomorrow's high in the upper 60s. Same thing for Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 70. Have a good weekend. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Hello, I'm Peter Strauss with today's Garden Minutes from Miracle-Gro, makers of Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed, the continuous release plant food that feeds for 3 months. Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed. Shake a little, grow a lot. Daisies, pansies, columbines, peonies, roses, mums. Nothing brings a yard to life like flowers. And having the flower garden of your dreams is easier than you may think. One of the first decisions you need to make is what kind of flower garden you want. Do you want a formal garden? These are symmetrical. In other words, what's on the left side is also on the right side, with a focal point, a statue, a trellis, a pond, in the middle. Informal gardens are more freeform and flow around trees, decks, and buildings. Flower borders are just that. They border a building, fence, or a sidewalk. Then there are island beds. These are visible from all sides and are surrounded by open area on all sides, so they look like, well, islands. Okay, now you've got to figure out what kind of light your garden will receive. Full sun, part shade, or full shade. That'll be critical in your selection of flowers. Next, the color scheme. Full sun gardens can handle brightly colored flowers, reds, bright yellows, rich blues. But shaded areas can appear brighter using light colored plants. Here's where the light yellows, whites, lavenders, and pale blues really work. By following just a few design rules, your outdoor plantings can be just as dramatic as your indoor decor. If you're looking for great results in your garden without a lot of work, try Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed. It shakes on dry in just a few minutes and then feeds your plants continuously for 3 months. It's the quickest, easiest way to get Miracle-Gro results. I'm Peter Strauss for Miracle-Gro.
I'd like to tell you about an attacker and how my friend survived. He was hit in the head by a stroke and left unable to speak. He couldn't believe it was actually happening and didn't know what to do, so he didn't get help right away. And it only got worse. His left side got weak and he was helpless. Thankfully, someone realized what was going on and called 911. If they hadn't, my friend wouldn't be here now. If you're attacked by a stroke, call 911 immediately. The sooner you react, the better your chance of survival. I'm glad that he lived, but we're still praying and working on his recovery. So if it ever happens to you or someone around you, get emergency medical help right away. Don't try to deny it's an attack by a stroke. This is Will Downing, friend of a stroke survivor.
Strokes attack African Americans more often. Find out why. Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is a brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
WWNR Beckley.
Here's Bob Kincaid. Head on.
Alrighty then, welcome back. About, I'll call it 20 minutes or so left in this Friday night edition. Then got to slog through the weekend. I'm looking forward to this. It's Fayette County Community Day at the West Virginia Power, Appalachian Power Park, I guess. And gonna take the family down on Sunday, which means, of course, the heavens will open and it will pour. I'm such an optimist. But I love minor league ball. In some ways, it's more real. And just a note for our good friend Peter from Tallahassee, emailed in, and I'd love to share it with you, but because I'm a liberal and a progressive and a Democrat, I'm afraid to read the actual text of the email, because unlike Flush Limbaugh, I can't just talk filth on the air and get away with it. He was talking about, I mean, today he referenced women having sex with dolphins. And he gets away with it. It's amazing. But I can't read Peter's email directly, but suffice to say he did draw a parallel, shall we say, between, or a passing reference to what he figured George Bush's focus of reference would be, or focus of fascination would be, in the semi-pornographic pictures of Saddam in his undies. Peter, ooh. But thanks anyway, I appreciate it. Now, this editorial by Martin Samuel from the Times Online, talking about Aslam Karimov. Boiling water, electrocution, chlorine-filled gas masks, drowning, rape, shooting, savage beatings. Karimov's Uzbekistan is the absolute market leader in torture right now. They're our buddy. The CIA would not shop anywhere else, which is, they're kind of like the Walmart for torture, aren't they? Which is why a mysterious Gulfstream 5 executive jet routinely delivers terrorist subjects from Afghanistan there for interrogation and perhaps, writes Mr. Samuel, percolation. Craig Murray, the former British ambassador, drew attention to this last year, and the noted socialist Tony Blair acted immediately. He fired him. Mr. Murray's warnings echo louder than ever now on the back of hundreds of corpses in the streets of Andijan. Uzbek troops opened fire on an unarmed crowd of protesters on Friday in an act of such brutality that the world finally woke up to the wickedness of the war on terror's new best friend. Jack Straw, the foreign secretary, called it a clear abuse of human rights. No kidding, Sherlock. But struggled to make his voice heard among our American allies. Little surprise. If our American allies had wanted his opinion, they would surely have given it to him. Isn't it nice to be loved? Live and don't learn would appear to be the moral to this story. Karimov may be a vicious, murdering, malevolent despot, but he is our vicious, murdering, malevolent despot. So, like Saddam, he can boil, shred, and gas away until we tire of uses for him. What did I tell you? Saddam was in the right place, sharing our hostility towards Iran at the right time, and so we armed him to the teeth in the name of a cause. Karimov, a nasty member of the regional Soviet hierarchy, even before independence in 1991, stands beneath another flag of convenience. He's frightened of Islam, he's rich in gas and oil, and he's within striking distance of Afghanistan. He's our boy! An American airbase, which Karimov allowed to be built at Khanabad, now protects the American-owned pipeline carrying Central Asia's black treasure through Afghanistan to the sea. Is it not strange that all our pals have the same thing in common? Just as celebrities end up latching on to other celebrities, so the West always finds itself hanging out with guys who are knee-deep in four-star. Do you remember when the Afghan war was starting and some people on the decent, progressive, liberal side pointed out the fact that, yes, Hamid Karzai was, in fact, a former UNICAL executive, and yes, in fact, Hamid Karzai had been part and parcel of American negotiations to build a gas pipeline through Afghanistan in the late 90s? We pointed that out, and we pointed out that the pipeline was supposed to go through Uzbekistan, you know, and that whole Central Asian Republic region. And it would go down through Afghanistan and go to, a port in Pakistan, I believe. And I remember being told personally that I was a conspiracy theorist. Guess what? There's a pipeline there. Yep, definitely a pipeline. Blows slow on the driveway, a pipeline. Wobner. But we were just paranoid and un-American. Blame America first. Nah, oil companies wouldn't kill people for money or nothing, would they? Yeah, they would. Samuel writes, the reason only the West could set the Iraqi people free was because our military and financial support for Saddam Hussein's corrupt government had made it impossible. Listen very carefully. The reason only the West could set the Iraqi people free was because our military and financial support for Saddam Hussein's corrupt government had made it impossible for his citizens to rise up alone. So it is in Uzbekistan. Listen carefully. When Kabul John Parpiev, one of the leaders of the doomed Andijan protesters, spoke to Zakir Almatov, the Uzbek interior minister, at the weekend, he claims that he was told, quote, and this guy sounds like he worked for the Bush family, we don't care if 200, 300, or 400 people die. We have the force. That's Bush foreign policy. It is the backing of the coalition that makes Karimov cocksure and invincible. There are countries around the world that would choose true freedom overnight if only the coalition's freedom junkies would let them. The Uzbeks want to be free. Guess what? We're fighting for the wrong side again. We're not on the side of freedom. We're not on the side of democracy. We're on the side of the totalitarian, tyrannical dictator. How about that? Funny how that happens when Republicans are in power. In 2002, the United States gave Uzbekistan, this would be your money. It's your money, remember? It's your money, and we're going to give some of it back, only we're going to give it to the Uzbeks. The United States gave Uzbekistan $500 million in aid, as opposed to the $36 million 4 years earlier, of which, do the math, $120 million went to the army, and $79 million went to the notorious SNB, Karamov's secret police. It's always with the secret police, right? It was the SNB who boiled Muzaffar Avazov, an Islamist activist, to death, having already beaten him severely and ripped his fingernails out. The fate of his fellow prisoner, Husnadin Alimov, does not bear thinking about, considering that the government restricted viewing of his lifeless body. And for all you family values Republicans out there, I hope I don't irritate my liberal, decent, progressive friends by occasionally addressing myself directly to the wingnuts that sit around listening to this program and hopping up and down. But they do espouse traditional family values, and I want to make sure that they understand what kind of traditional family values they're paying for. $79 million to the secret police of Uzbekistan, the SNB, and they're the people who came to collect Mr. Avazov's 63-year-old mama, Fatima Mukhadurova. 63 years old, she was sentenced to 6 years hard labor. What was her crime? She tried to tell the world about Aslam Karimov's murder of the little boy who had once suckled at her breast. Now, Don Rumfield went to a visit in Uzbekistan, so they released her the day before he got there. What did Don Rumfield say when he got to Uzbekistan? Why, he had worlds of praise for, quote, these are his words, the wonderful cooperation we have received from the government of Uzbekistan. The hell of a bargain. Mr. Samuel writes, so the freedom our precious coalition claims to be exporting around the world, not true freedom at all. It's freedom we're giving back, having conspired with sadists to take it away. I don't think these people are sadists. I think these people are monsters, inhuman monsters. What the Iraqi people enjoyed at the polling booths in January was freedom on our terms, not theirs. Considering the dreadful human toll, one would think we would then acknowledge that mistake by not repeating it. But no, I'll bet you missed this on Fox News, didn't you? There were no opposition parties in Uzbekistan's last election. And there are no arms restrictions imposed by our government either. A fellow named Bill Rammel, I don't know, is the junior foreign and commonwealth office minister in the United Kingdom. He was questioned in Parliament about this in December 2003, and he said, Uzbekistan is a key player in a region of strategic importance to the UK, so defense cooperation is important. It is important to note that Uzbek armed forces are not implicated in human rights violations. Mr. Samuel must have quite a wit. He says, in other words, go boil your head. Oh, sorry. You've already done that. We mold these little monsters such as Saddam, Karimov, and General Manuel Noriega. And they do our dirty work until such a time when it is no longer expedient, at which point we extract revenge and dress it up as a moral crusade or enduring freedom. There are those who believe that whatever its motives, the war in Iraq can be justified by free elections and the removal of Saddam. And pictures of him in his underwear! Yes, but only if that policy is consistent. If the coalition agenda is to spread democracy worldwide, then it cannot be in bed with a tyrant like Karamov. And if it is, then any good in Iraq is overpowered by the stench of death and hypocrisy wafting across from Central Asia. Wafting across from Central Asia. Shh. You're doing this. You and me, the silent people, the quiet people. Maybe not so much us as the people who sit there and stare blindly, numbly at the television while people are literally being gunned down in the streets of Uzbekistan, dying for freedom. And Saddam was an evil dictator who gassed his own people. Aslan Karimov is an evil dictator who gasses his own people and boils them and pulls their fingernails out and beats them until their heads look like what happens to a pumpkin dropped off a 2- or 3-story building. But he's your friend, Wingnuts, because he's George Bush's friend, and you are George Bush's friend, aren't you, Wingnuts? From there, from Uzbekistan, from Tashkent, to, oh God, to Ponchatoula, Louisiana. 8 people under arrest. Now, I'm just going to read the way, I want you to note something. 8 people have now been arrested in connection with the church-based sex cult in Tangipahoa, I don't know, Tangipahoa Parish, Louisiana. Church-based sex cult. Bad journalism. Church-based rape cult. 3 out of the 8 are women. 21-year-old Paul Fontenot of Ponchatoula was arrested and faces a charge of aggravated rape of a juvenile. 36-year-old Nicole Bernard also faces that same charge. She was picked up by the FBI in Ohio. She's the former wife of Austin Bernard III, who's also been arrested in the investigation. 45-year-old Robin LaMonica is the wife of the former pastor of the Hosanna Church in Ponchatoula. She's charged with raping a child. Investigators say LaMonica had sex with a young boy from the time he was 4 until he was 13 years old. 46-year-old Alan Pearson is in custody. All of the men attended the Hosanna Church. 54-year-old Lois Ann Mowbray of Ponchatoula faces charges for not reporting the aggravated rape. Photo albums and other items have been seized. As many as a dozen adults may have been involved in victimizing as many as 24 children. Ranging, listen to this. Oh, what's your name? You who hang on my every word. What is your name? Audrey Bloomfield. Listen to this. Will Mr. Kincaid be allowed to continue his tirade against churches and Christians? Here's your Christian, sweetheart. As many as a dozen adult members of the Hosanna Church have been involved in victimizing as many as 24 children, ranging in age from infants to teens. There goes that Bob Kincaid. He's persecuting the Christians again. Lord God, what's wrong? What is wrong? Well, we still have a lot of interviews to do, says Director of Investigations Charles Fitz. My God. 3 of the suspects, like I said, are women. And the cops say, at least, like I said, 24 children, anywhere from infants to teens, were repeatedly, over and over and over and over and over again, raped. So, now listen, that Bob Kincaid, he just can't shut up about persecuting the Christians. The children were raped at that church. So were dogs and cats. Remember that good Christian, Neil Horsley? New York Times describes it as a cult-like sex ring. Quit that! It is a right-wing religion industry rape center. It is what they do. Rape of children younger than 13. Rape of infants. The Reverend Louis LaMonica, 45, pastor of Hosanna Church in Ponchatoula. Wouldn't you love to have heard a sermon here, oh, about mid-October? Brethren and sisters, in the name of Jesus Christ, I tell you that John Kerry supports abortion and gay marriage. Brethren and sister, you cannot be a part of the body of Christ Jesus if you vote for that John Kerry. Brethren and sistren, vote for George Bush, for he is a man of God supporting traditional family values. Let us now sing the doxology and go get it on with some dogs and cats and babies. Jesus. The Reverend Louis LaMonica is the chief suspect. He walked into the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office and began to confess. Deputy Reed said Mr. LaMonica began to recount some horrific instances where children from the age of toddlers to pubescents to teenagers had been involved in sex acts in affiliation with this church. My God, how can you call that a church? But you know what? You want to bet the Hosanna Church is on the mailing list of the Republican National Committee? I won't take the bet because I know it is. Mr. LaMonica also spoke of a poodle and a cat that had died from abuse. Among those arrested was Chris Labatt, 24, a deputy sheriff in the parish. But I persecute the Christians, right? Because since these are all good people of God, whatever they do is sanctioned by God. Is that how it works? And they hang out and they hide out in little Republican enclaves, and little children are destroyed forever. Right. But this is the moral values group that seeks to run the country, that held a rally to try to destroy 200 years of senatorial tradition, that hopes to break our very government in a million pieces. God forgive America. The show tonight was produced by the inimitable John Kepi, engineered by Randy Curbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. I like to think that your safety is their business. The show is archived every night by Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org. Go unbiased, and if you use his archive services, pay attention to his funding drive.